Okay, we are back with Ken and Lisa Waters Lane in the studio. She comes each week with your garden questions. What are neighbors talking about? What's the garden community talking about? So it's good to share that over the airwaves. Lisa, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
You recharged after visiting all those grandkids in Texas?
I'm starting to, yes. They're fun, but whoo, they wear you out.
They do wear you out. They are active. Three of them. We have three grandkids, two grandsons, 10 and 7, a granddaughter. She three or four? Three. And so they are a handful.
But you a get good going. Handful.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like they're.
It's energetic.
Yeah. They're just, you know, a lot more than what we're used to.
I think we were used to. We raised four kids, but.
Yeah. That was a long time
I've
ago.
I've forgotten how much that's parenting is for young people, not for grandparents.
That is true.
Anyway, just fun to see them. Good, fun to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So
fun.
They live in Nolanville, if you know where that is. That's just, what is that, west of Waco, in between Austin and Dallas. They're up in there, right by Killeen. He works at Fort Hood. So he's a PA for the 1st Armored, 1st Cav. Basically, if you shoot a cannon and you get hurt, he and his team are going to take care of you. That's the way it is. And so we're very proud of him. And they just have this great home. They just moved
new
to.
Home, brand new home.
Yeah.
You helped him plant a tree while he was
there. There we go. A southern magnolia. A real one. You can't do that in Prescott, Arizona. So there you can. They do really well.
Yeah,
so.
He was pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
He
really beautiful front yard.
It is beautiful.
They have lawns. Everything is grass, no rock. It's all, they moved from El Paso, which is all
dust and rock
to everything is green. Mm-hmm. So just how different things are.
Yeah.
He's showing off his lawnmower, all battery operated. DeWalt lawnmower takes two 20 volt batteries or something.
Really?
Anyway, I'm going, wow, they can do that anymore. Interesting.
Give him a year, he'll have a riding lawnmower out there.
I don't know that their yard is big enough for that.
So. Does it matter?
I know. Tools. We need tools. I'm trying to talk him into a boat. They're right in the middle of water country down there. So
his wife wasn't real thrilled with that aspect.
Yeah, we'll work on her next. It took me like 10 years to get you converted.
10?
Maybe longer. Anyway, now we own a houseboat. All the toys up in Lake Powell, which is like a dream of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And now yours. So we should talk garden stuff. What are some garden questions we got this week?
Well, sure. So Paul has a question. In October, he planted a pine and a spruce.
Yeah.
So he just wants to know, what should the watering be right now? And then second part, he also planted a maple, which of course has lost its leaves.
Right.
So he's asking, do I really need to water that in the winter? Because it has no leaves.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. So I covered that a little bit at the start of the show, but this is good to go deeper. So we go deciduous, maple trees. They've lost their leaves. Now they're just bare.
Mm-hmm.
And then evergreens. So a spruce, pine, firs, all that. You're going to water both the same. So they're going to need water through winter, especially the evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
I would say a couple times a month. Deep soak them like you would in June. It's 90 degrees out. It's bone dry. Think you're watering things more regularly. You're watering once a week then. But water like that same amount, but just do it a couple times a month.
Okay.
Pick a nice day right through winter. We're talking January, this month, next month, through typically March. In April, you start to power things back up and you're into regular water. By then, the lilacs are blooming. The forsythia have been in bloom. Everything's starting to really go in April. Then you're kind of turning things back on the way you normally would water in the growing season. So twice a month.
Yeah. And I would think that would be especially important for newly planted trees.
Yeah. Especially for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that's good advice for all landscapes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got an ancient, 30-year-old spruce tree, probably less need. But you just never know how dry things are going to be here. So it's just, if it's really dry, you haven't seen water in a month and a half, you probably should water everything, but especially the new things. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Next question is from Sonia. She heard you mention at one point something that should be added in addition to fertilizer to help the lilacs and the forsythias bloom better.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so that's really easy. So superphosphate. It's 0, 18, 0. So that's that middle number forms flowers. Mm-hmm. And so if you're having, if you want larger flowers, say it had a good bloom last year, last spring, but you just want more, more fragrance, more bigger, deeper, richer, put superphosphate. Add that in addition. It's a, again, a granular, kind of like a fertilizer, mm-hmm. but it doesn't really feed the, it feeds the flower buds, not right. the actual leaf buds. Right. So your all-purpose plant food, that does everything. It's balanced, but it's 744. Now you're going to go 720, what is it? 22.4. You just jacked up that middle number off the charts, which is really important for anything that blooms, fruit trees, anything, especially lilacs. They tend to run out of food and they stop blooming if you don't do that. I would go to iris. Mm-hmm. Anything that blooms, add the superphosphate, give it a handful or two. Let winter break it down.
If you're an organic gardener,
organic 0-10-0 could do it. So the problem with bone meal for lilacs, mm-hmm. specifically their question, it breaks down so slowly, you're almost putting it on this year for next year. Okay. So it's typically ground up chicken bone is uh-huh. what bone meal is. And so it just breaks down much longer. It's a much longer release, which is mm-hmm. great, completely organic. So for let's say tomato gardens, mm-hmm. that's a great one. I'll put bone meal, a little scoop of that underneath each plant. So the roots grow through the bone meal, picks up that phosphorus. Mm-hmm. So I get bigger tomatoes, more tomatoes. Mm-hmm. So, but for probably not ideal for spring blooming okay. kinds of shrubs. Mm-hmm. If you want blooms here, and really they're forming buds right now. Mm-hmm. Lilacs have buds on them right now. Yeah. Probably superphosphate's better for that. Okay. So come see us for more. If you're not, if we just confused you, come see us at the garden center. We'll put you straight.
Sorry about that. Okay. Barb and Chino wants to know, does she need to give extra protection to the roses for winter? And when should they be pruned back?
Yeah, good question. So that's kind of a combo. So it sounds like she's from the Midwest. That's what you do in Chicago, that kind of stuff. You'll cut them back, put a cage around them, take your shredded leaves and put them and insulate that rose bush to get them through winter. Mm-hmm. We don't do any of that here. So maybe up in the White Mountains, maybe Flagstaff, if you're in a shadier area, mm-hmm. but really you just let winter do its thing and then you'll clean it up in March. March is when we prune in the mountains of Arizona. March is when we prune, not so much the desert. Mm-hmm. So Phoenix, Tucson, it's different. Yeah. There you're pruning now, mm-hmm. but up here we keep that foliage up to protect the structure, the heart of that plant, mm-hmm. and then we'll clean it up in March, fertilize it, and it just starts blooming by the end of April. It's in bloom. Kind of 45 days later, just like that, it's in full bloom. Mm-hmm. So
can you think of anything really that would need extra protection that you would have to go that far to cage it?
Dahlias. If you're into, if you're really into exotic kind of flowers, mm-hmm. dahlias have a root to them. Generally, they say dig them up and store them in the garage, but I have actually taken extra dirt, kind of mm-hmm. mounded it up over it through winter. And if that root ball, that rhizome doesn't freeze, it'll come back. Mm-hmm. If it does freeze, well, I know where you can come and buy a new one, probably an exotic new color next May right. here at Waters Garden Center. So that's one. Mm-hmm. If you're into exotic yeah. camellias, we have a hardy camellia here. But if you're growing the more tropical Southern California one, mm-hmm. those don't winter over unless you protect it. Right. Some azaleas, rhododendrons can be mm-hmm. that way. They're more tropical or they're kind of borderline. Okay. We tend to sell the hardy ones here. Mm-hmm. But if you got one from, you know, online or something,
yeah.
you might have to protect that. So that's that borderline stuff. Right. We'll actually bring ours closer to the house. We mm-hmm. grow some palm trees. They're hardy. They're zone 8, but they're really not that hardy. If we go harsh winter, but if you bring it next to the house, it insulates it.
Usually we put it in our entryway, but now it's so big, we won't be able to get in the door.
We might cut it back and we'll see what to do. I'm going to take it to the backyard. Anyway, that's it for this segment. So mm-hmm. Ken and Lisa Lane, the Mountain Gardeners, be right back right mm-hmm. after this.